This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
Chicago winters can be tough. Snow, ice, and freezing temps make every drive a challenge. If you're thinking it's time for a new Chevy, you're right. Your local Chevy dealer has the perfect vehicle to keep you safe and confident on the road. From heavy-duty performance to everyday versatility, Chevy has you covered. The Silverado offers unmatched power. The Equinox and Blazer provide all-weather confidence. Need room for the whole crew? Check out the Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or go for the sporty, city-friendly Trax, perfect for navigating winter streets. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com to explore the latest models, find special offers, locate your nearest dealer, and even start shopping online. Don't let winter slow you down. Find your next Chevy today at ChevyDriveChicago.com. That's ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Live from West Palm Beach. Thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
As we were talking briefly at the end of the last segment about things that annoy Sean. Mm. Sean has an entire Google Doc on his phone.
Yep.
So we didn't make it through it all, but a couple of you texted in, or at least one of you texted in, the things that annoy you these days. Yeah. This guy does not like – these are phrases that annoy you. You just won the internet.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
He says that makes his skin crawl.
Yep, yep. It's a good one.
I don't – the problem is sometimes somebody says that about one of my tweets, and I'm like, ha, that is a fine thing to say. That is a fine thing to say,
it's
sir.
It's fine to be hypocritical about it.
There's lots of things I don't
yeah,
like.
Yeah, that does you know, not
I,
annoy me.
I don't like the extra point, right. But when my team wins a game with an extra point, I'm all for the extra point.
Let me look at this list here. I don't see anywhere on my list of things that annoy me Sean being hypocritical.
Sean,
doesn't annoy me at all.
Sean, you're a handsome devil.
That's right. That's right.
So text in the things that annoy you.
Things that annoy
the
you.
Trivial things that annoy you way more than they probably
if
should.
I have to go through if I have to go through my whole list, I will, just to give people brain food. We can do that a little bit later. Let's get to Nick Caserio here. You can text in. Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610. O-line, going to be a big topic for the Texans this offseason. It already is. They're at the combine. I believe the offensive linemen work out. I should check. I know today's defensive lineman, Kenneth Grant, the big one we've got circled there. Nick Caserio was asked yesterday in his national media session how Cole Popovich, who was formerly the assistant O-line coach, he's now the man in charge of the offensive line. He's the O-line coach now. How is his role changing?
Yeah, it's always case by case, I would say. In Cole's case, I mean, Cole's got a lot of experience. He's been in the league for a number of years. You know, the players, you know, had, again, you're not going based off of what players think, but they felt there were some positives. And I'd say some of the offensive coordinators that we talked about had referenced Cole as somebody that they would want to potentially consider, like, separate from us. So, all right, well, the guy's here. Okay, like, does this make sense? How does Nick Caley feel about it? We had a few other candidates that also had identified Cole as somebody. I think Cole was, you know, highly thought of in the league and opportunity externally away from Houston last year. He decided to stay in Houston. So we'll see how it goes. I'm sure there's some things that Cole is going to do, kind of put his spin on it. But once we kind of get started, we'll kind of have a better idea what that looks like.
The Nick Caley specifically, I think, is a guy that he mentioned it either another answer or maybe D'Amico did at some point. But when Nick Caley was interviewing I think Cole Popovich's name definitely came up, and they had worked together before. So yeah. I feel better. I don't know. I think most people probably feel like, well, Cole Popovich was the assistant offensive line coach on an offensive line that underperformed, and now he's got his buddy coming in, and it feels just too convenient. I tend to feel the opposite. I think Nick Caley has already demonstrated he's a guy who's going to be very careful and selective about which job he took. Mm-hmm. He turned down the Patriots. He turned down the Jets. He decided this was a good opportunity. And I don't think just loyalty to a buddy or something was going to lead him to just, you know, say, yeah, you got to keep Cole Popovich. I think he probably had a genuine good working relationship with him. And I'll tell this story again. Apologies to those of you that have heard it already. But if you think or wonder, okay, well, how come all these assistant coaches got to stay and Bobby Slowick is taking the fall or being blamed for everything? I've been on defenses where there were bad defensive coordinators. Two specific times in my career with two different coordinators I can think of where there was nothing a good assistant coach was going to do because the defensive coordinator was so far out of his element and out of his league. And there's only so much you can do as an assistant coach when you're trying to get your guys to follow rules that are constantly shifting or game plans that don't quite make sense, or the coordinator is asking guys to do things that are, like, depending on guys that are to do things that are physically impossible, like 50% of the time, it's really, really hard. So that's what I would hope for, is that it was even worse than it looked, or what you might have suspected with Bobby Slowick when it came to his actual competence as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, like it's that way in the NFL. It's that way in business. Like, the further up the food chain you make a bad hire, the trickle down effect is profound.
Yeah,
you know, like it's and that's and so I yeah like it.
Well, we were talking. This analogy came up when we were talking about it a couple months ago. Is, you know, if you look at the military, they've got boatloads of officers, and you know, like, you don't have to wait for a guy to, you don't have to wait for a guy's contract to expire to bring a new officer in. You know, you can. So you see it all the time. A bad unit gets a new officer, and all of a sudden, lo and behold, those same guys who were in a bad unit before, it actually turns out they weren't that bad. They just had bad leadership. So in football, the problem is you can't hire, you can't go out and find another offensive coordinator in the middle of the season. But hopefully it's as simple as that, that if Nick Caley is just a better officer than Bobby Slowick, then maybe these guys will show up with their shirts tucked in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or in shape.
Yeah. I've got this image of Bobby Slowick as an officer, and his guys are showing up like 5 minutes late to whatever you call it in the morning when everybody reports it. You know me with my military lingo.
Right.
Just guys rolling out of bed, like whenever, hitting the snooze button in the barracks.
Happens all the time.
Yelling at the bugler to shut the hell up.
The bugler.
Shut that bugler up.
Is that what they're called?
They're too busy stealing the bugle instead of getting up on time.
That's right.
Yeah.
If you put half as much effort into being a soldier as you did into stealing that bugle.
Bugle, right.
You would be a great soldier.
It's called the bugle dynamic.
Yeah. That's always a big thing.
Everybody knows that.
Any sort of nefarious thing. Like, if you put half as much effort into
being a good person. I think
about
that with criminals a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I think about that with my father-in-law had this family that they rented to for a long time. It was, this guy was working the system to an extreme degree.
Were they renting, like,
a house? He was renting a trailer.
Trailer, okay.
And they were there for, like, 20 years. They were really good tenants. They kept the place up and everything. But the father, he put so much time and energy into not working at all. And one of his strategies too was having a bunch of kids. I always thought, like, this guy's actually pretty bright, and I feel like he puts in more hours to make the money he does than if he just had a normal job.
Yeah.
But I think he just like bucking the system.
Yeah, there's a rush to that.
To be clear, everybody, I'm talking about the tenant, not my father-in-law.
Right.
My father-in-law is working 18-hour days.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course. Yeah.
His kids, and now this guy's.
Those are you out to get Seth's father-in-law.
The crazy thing was that this guy, this tenant, his kids would work on my father-in-law's farm, and they were awesome.
Oh, really? The kids were?
Yeah, they ended up like, they actually did something for themselves.
Okay.
Like, they became upstanding citizens with jobs and
everything. The apple actually did fall very far.
Very
from the
far
tree.
From the tree.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, well, they had a good influence in my father-in-law, Fred.
That helps.
My father-in-law would take in a lot of guys, the kids that had, like, messed up home lives and everything.
That's cool.
And, like, they kind of, like, live with him, and they'd work on the farm, like, to, it was almost like, what was the movie, the series we were watching? Was it the one with, oh, Oh, it was out in Montana. They were like
Yellowstone.
It was at Yellowstone. Yeah, Yellowstone. It was a lot like Yellowstone.
Oh yeah,
it was a lot like Yellowstone.
John Dutton would take in a lot of
not criminals,
a lot of borderline personalities.
A lot of like my brother-in-laws, their friends, like they'd have friends that were, you know, had rough home lives or whatever, and the kids would come and basically live with my wife's family.
That is Yellowstone.
And yeah, and Fred would like make them bale hay and everything, and they loved it because they had some structure in their life.
John Dutton. He's basically Kevin Costner.
He's a law-abiding John Dutton.
He's law-abiding. Right, right, right. Here was Nick Caserio on the need for is there a need for new faces on the offensive line?
Yeah, there's never one particular thing. So I think the big thing is, can you get the players to do the right thing? Do they understand their assignment? Do they play with the right techniques? Do they play with the right fundamentals? Can they execute their assignment? They have an understanding of what's going on. So don't want to, like, oversimplify it. I mean, sometimes it's like we got to come up with, like, some magic formulas. So, I mean, where we are today could be different in a week from now. Could be different a few months from now. I mean, I don't know how it looks. So, I mean, just because a guy is here doesn't necessarily mean, well, that's what it's going to look like. I mean, you guys were here a couple of years ago, like, where we basically traded for three offensive linemen, signed another player, guys that weren't even here, weren't even talking about in training camp, were playing week one through four. So, I mean, that's just how it goes. So you get prepared for anything. So you got to start with the foundation. You got to start somewhere with the group and then just kind of figure it out as you go.
Feels like a yes.
Yeah.
Feels like there will be new faces on the offensive line.
Well, D'Amico was asked the question on the coach's show on Texans Radio with John and Mark about bringing in new guys, or maybe this was in the scrum afterwards. Oh, it was in the scrum after the press conference, actually.
Oh, the local?
Where he just flat out said, yeah, look, we're always looking to bring in new guys, always, everywhere. And I think that's an easy and an accurate answer. You might feel great about your offensive line. You still want other guys that can come in and give them competition or be backups and everything else. But this year especially, I think there's very few parts of that offensive line where you feel like any of those guys have 100% earned their spot.
Yeah.
I do think the guys I'm most optimistic about seeing a better version of are Jarrett Patterson and Juice Scruggs. And I think we saw some good stuff out of Jarrett Patterson at the end of the year when they were leaning into some of the inside zone and some of the plays where in that Chiefs game, I was actually really pleasantly surprised by how good the offensive line was moving the defensive line off the ball on that 81-yard touchdown drive in the third quarter, especially. They were playing with some physicality. So we know they have it in them, and that's versus a good defense. It's just a matter of hopefully having an offensive coordinator that knows how to identify what guys are actually good at and getting it consistently.
Yeah, mine's Blake Fisher. Like, if the guys I'm most interested in, mostly because year one to year two in an NFL weight room, you know, does he look different?
Because he was a guy, from the get-go, you looked at him, and a lot of people were saying, okay, this is a guy that if he had stayed in college one more year, probably could have been a first-round pick.
He would have played left tackle.
He's a guy that's kind of lanky, but he shows a willingness to finish blocks. I think he's got some genuine nastiness to him, not fake bravado nastiness to him. And he's very athletic. I guess I look at him as, I thought that he showed promise as a rookie, but still looked a lot like a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
So I would expect him to get better, even if Bobby Sloak had stayed.
Yeah.
But yeah, for sure. Hopefully, you can hyperdrive some of that growth.
I mean, if you find a right tackle who's a good right tackle who's in his second year on a rookie deal, to put opposite Tunsil's the only name in ink right now on the offensive line. Everybody else is in pencil right now on the offensive line.
Yeah.
People are texting in on the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line, the things that annoy them. People who don't know who Gene Hackman was.
You know what, though?
He's done a movie since 2004.
Since 2004. So there's a lot of guys. There's 20-year-olds out there that probably, you know, they would recognize him if they were reminded of him.
Because
they probably watched The Unforgiven or something at some point.
Yep. Let's see. This goes back to the person saying that you just won the internet, makes their skin crawl. And you said, well, Seth that sometimes. The texter says, I tell Seth that all the time. His tweets are my brand of humor, and now I feel like a douche.
Oh,
thanks,
no,
Seth.
I like it.
Thanks,
I like
Seth.
It. No, what? I'm not the one that said it annoyed me. I said I like it.
Just put it out there so you can clarify
for him. I'm
that guy,
no. Yeah, somebody else's issue.
Thank you
for being one of the people that understands when I'm joking instead of explaining to me why my joke doesn't make sense.
I don't know why, but this is a text. I don't know why, but the phrase build to scale in all these AI commercials bothers bothers the hell out of me.
Any AI commercial for any reason at all bothers me because they do. I feel like people are looking at AI the way I think we looked at computers back in the 1980s, where you just had this, you have this fantasy that like, oh, I'm going to be able to press a button and then I don't have to do anything at all. And then when you start to learn how to use it, you're like, oh, okay, this is just a way that I can do work that other people are going to be using too. And if anything, over time, it's probably going to add more work because you're just like an accountant today doesn't look at the computer like, oh, my life's no challenge at all anymore. I've got a computer.
Right.
Like, now you're competing against other accountants that are using the same
tools
you are.
Using a computer, yeah. I'm annoyed when I'm the wrong caller for tickets to the rodeo. Oh, that's not something that perpetually annoys you on a daily basis.
That's not a phrase or something that annoys
Here's
you.
Here's a good one, and this could be Lopez texting the show. It annoys me when people say tempo when they mean up-tempo in regards to football.
Yeah.
Especially Chris Fowler. He speaks poorly. Wow. That's a drive-by on Chris Fowler right there. I think that's a Lopez pet peeve.
They say
he's using tempo.
They play with tempo.
Yeah.
Right, okay, well, tempo can be slow tempo. It can be up-tempo. What kind of tempo? It's a musically ignorant person is what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. And that would be me. I probably have said tempo.
I don't know.
Many
I guess
times.
It's so used in football. It almost has become acceptable because, like, it's understood that when you say it in football, like, in that context, it means up-tempo. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Oh, we're getting a clarification on The Replacements, the movie. These are really important topics. Because Gene Hackman, if you missed it, Gene Hackman passed away in very mysterious circumstances. He, his wife, and his dog were found dead early this morning or yesterday. And the news came out this morning, so we've been reminiscing about Gene Hackman movies. The Replacements is maybe the greatest cheesy Gene Hackman movie ever. Keanu Reeves was the quarterback in The Replacements, Footsteps Falco. His character's, thank you to this texter, his character's backstory was that he always choked in big situations when he was at Ohio State, and he went undrafted. He was in it in between the two Matrix movies. Reeves also took a pay cut so the producers could afford Hackman because Reeves really wanted to work with Gene Hackman in this movie.
Because you had said, and I was kind of curious, you had said like Hackman was in that mode where he would just take money for anything. I was like, I don't think Hackman ever had a lull in his career.
He had a look on his face throughout that movie where he was like, am I getting paid in cash? He was
Am I getting paid in cash?
Yeah,
okay,
it was a very
It
was his performance was not the greatest.
I read that,
that
wrong. I thought you meant that he was. He was just desperate for a good role.
No.
He was pretty consistently employed in good roles throughout his entire career.
Yeah. No, it was the actual performance itself that I was commenting on. Reeves garnered some brief interest from some NFL teams because those were him actually throwing the football in the movie. Now, that part I don't believe, that Keanu Reeves got garnered interest from
the whole thing
NFL
was his
teams.
Throwing motion was really weird. It was I can just remember from Point Break. I'm like, come on. Could they not work with him for a little bit to make it look like he's got a credible
throw? I
can
see the Jags being interested in Keanu Reeves based on that movie, like Shad Khan.
You know what that gave me? Something annoys me about?
Huh.
Remember when we did that? We did that video, I think it was during COVID, when it was like the intro to Full House.
Yeah.
And I did one where I reenacted Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite in front of his van throwing the football. And Uncle Rico had this story, you know, would talk about what a great quarterback he was and he never got a shot and everything. But then you watch him throw a football and it was a really weird motion. So I tried to mimic his throwing motion.
I remember.
I got so many people criticizing my throwing.
Oh, really?
That I know, but it was like, this was not worth it at all, man. Like, I tried to roll with it for a little bit, and there was nothing I could do about it. It wasn't on my Twitter feed or anything. There was this video out there that was getting a whole lot of traction with me intentionally throwing the ball bad, but people thinking that that's how I throw
it. That was before you reach full peak awareness of social media, of what the response is. Will and could be
when I'm just joking,
trying to joke around about something.
Had you
been fully aware of that?
I made it so bad that I thought it would be clear that it wasn't, because I do not have a great throwing motion, but I made it like really. I was like, clearly nobody will think this is how I actually throw football.
Apparently, people think there was a reason you were a defensive tackle.
There definitely was. Yeah. Ronaldo Wynn and I used to get together and try to work on our throwing.
Really?
Yeah, we'd have that. I think. I think Derek Carr might have helped us out at one point. That's when I started hating Derek Carr. I was like a little 13-year-old who could whip it.
Oh, my
God. Was, obviously, Ronaldo Wynn was when I was in Jacksonville.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I was working in Houston, that's when I gave up, when Derek Carr tried to help me out. I was like, all right, this is degrading.
I'm just bad. All right, we're going to give away some rodeo tickets. So, hey, listen, dude who hates losing out on rodeo tickets, be listening in the next segment. And you got a chance to win some trips to see Zach Top on March the 11th at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. Fight between the Nugget Hussies at the Combine.
It's drama.
Yesterday.
We got drama.
It's drama. If we had a battle royale, if we had a bracket of all the insiders, the newsbreakers across sports, who would be the winner? I don't think either of these two guys that we're about to talk about. But I think there's one that I think would be a heavy favorite. We'll talk about that. If you haven't heard this story, this is a wild story from the Combine. We'll get to that coming up next.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Big Time Rush, performing live in concert, playing every song from every episode and more. Big Time Rush, with special guests Caitlin Tarver and Stephen Kramer Glickman. Get tickets now at LiveNation.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Live from West Palm Beach. Thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
There are certain levels of headlines that are must click if I see them. You know, it takes a lot to get me to unconditionally click on something. But when I see a headline on Pro Football Talk, Jordan Schultz verbally accosted Ian Rapoport at a Starbucks in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
I almost had to double check. Well, I did. I double and triple checked to make sure this story was indeed true.
Especially because the initial report came from PFT Commenter.
Yeah, right.
You know,
right,
like who does break news.
Yeah.
But he also is one of the funniest guys on the internet that doesn't intend to be taken seriously
Yes.
most of the time.
This, the first I saw was a listener, Victor, sent it to me via DM, this story. That Jordan Schultz, who, for those who don't know, he's probably less known than Ian Rapoport, I would imagine, in our circle of listeners. Ian Rapoport is a big newsbreaker for NFL.com. Jordan Schultz is maybe an up-and-coming newsbreaker. I don't know. He's on Fox. He does break some news, rumors, whatever. They're all nugget hussies in the end. We know that. They all want their nuggets. But apparently Jordan Schultz and Ian Rappaport got into it at a Starbucks in Indianapolis. And the reason why I thought – the biggest reason I thought this might not be a real story, Seth, again, my first seeing this was Florio's aggregation of it, was that it took place at a Starbucks.
Yeah.
Because Jordan Schultz's dad is the former CEO of Starbucks.
Yeah, yeah.
So home field advantage for Jordan Schultz.
There's
so
many Starbucks all over the place, though, too, that it's not like it's a huge coincidence or anything. It's like, okay. It's kind of like if you're, I don't know, the heir to the Kleenex fortune got caught with, I don't know.
Yeah. So Jordan Schultz and Ian Rappaport got into it because Schultz had a report, I guess, earlier this week that Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady spent time together in Montana.
Yeah.
Literally, like, doing things together, like
basically,
skiing,
he framed it as Tom Brady recruiting Matt Stafford
really
to want to come play for the Raiders.
Yep.
Tom Brady, a minority owner of the Raiders.
Yep. And Ian Rappaport poured cold water on that report and said, it's just a coincidence.
They just ran into each other at a ski resort.
Yeah.
And remember, everybody, Tom Brady coincidentally ran into Miami's Miami Dolphins ownership in South Florida a few years ago when he wasn't supposed to be talking to other teams.
Yep.
So the coincidental – and the Dolphins ended up getting docked, what, a first round pick for that?
Yeah, there's 31 first-round picks a couple
Tom
years
Brady's
ago.
Had odd coincidental run-ins with people in weird geographic places
before. It's amazing run of luck that he's had, yeah. So Jordan Schultz took exception to Ian Rappaport – pouring cold water on his report about Brady and Stafford spending time with each other, took great exception to it, and the two ran into each other in the Starbucks at the JW Marriott in Indianapolis, which sounds to me like the Grand Central Station of the Combine. Like it's the nerve center of where everything happens.
If I remember, there's a Starbucks up like off the lobby to the side. Yeah, there's a lot of NFL people cruising through.
A lot of foot traffic. Yeah, a lot of foot traffic. So Schultz approached Ian Rappaport, and according to people who witnessed it, who saw it, Rappaport was talking to an agent, which is what a good nugget hussy does.
Yeah.
Schultz approached Rappaport while Rappaport's talking to that agent and said, quote, we need to talk, or something to that effect. Rappaport replied, we don't need to talk.
Oh.
Schultz then made accusations at Rappaport. Rappaport said the accusations were unfounded. The two men were essentially face-to-face, which means that Jordan Schultz had to at least crouch down
bend
a little
down
bit.
And, like, stoop over to get face-to-face.
To get face-to-face, because Rappaport's face is at a lower level than the average human being.
Yeah.
If you have anything to say to me, say it to my effing face, Schultz said. If this continues, we're going to have an effing problem. So, again, the things he's referring to are Rappaport pouring cold water on the Brady report, and part of me wonders, too, if Rappaport, who I believe has his roots up in the Boston area, if I'm not mistaken, if he feels a little bit like Brady is his territory, hey, man.
Get away from my girl.
Get
your dirty hands off of her.
A little bit. Schultz went on to say again, if this happens again, we're going to have an effing problem. Now I'll step back. Because Rappaport told him, you better step back. Now I'll step back. After getting his stuff in. The incident was reported to NFL security, reportedly by Rappaport.
Yeah, of course he did.
NFL security has taken statements from multiple witnesses. This thing's being treated like a homicide.
I don't feel safe.
Yeah.
I don't feel safe.
Rappaport declined to comment on the situation. Schultz did not. He sent a lengthy text message to PFT. It really isn't anything too much. Rappaport and I had a verbal confrontation. It lasted a little over a minute. Multiple agents and reporters were nearby. Rappaport was the one who called security shortly after, but it never escalated further. I would like to have seen these two throw down. I'm not going to lie.
I don't know. I feel like Jordan Schultz probably grew up in a home that was hyper-caffeinated, and maybe there were maybe their communication style was a little bit of like, what do you think? What do you do? Hey, kids, you got to get yourself ready for school. Come on. Yeah, I don't know. More than anything, I don't trust Ian Rappaport ever since he reported that when Deshaun Watson went to the Browns, it wasn't about the money, which was just complete bogus nonsense, didn't make any logical sense at all, because Deshaun Watson had already turned down the Browns. The Browns upped their offer by $40 million, and lo and behold, Cleveland was the place for him. So it had a lot to do with the money.
Yeah.
It was the epitome of these water-carrying nugget hussies who will basically – print whatever the agent or team official
he's
tells him to
print. Kissing Mulligan's ass.
Yeah, and with Rappaport, it's worse because he works for the league.
Yep.
So he's getting handed, spoon-fed all of these nuggets just by virtue of his position. Yeah, he can go, I'm Team Schultz on this one.
Yeah, no,
Schultz
was in his right mind.
Yeah, oh no, there's no way Tom Brady would ever meet with Matt Stafford in Montana, of all places, to try to recruit him, even though Tom Brady's already been pinched for this type of behavior once before.
Yes, yes, pinched and punished.
Uh-huh.
When I read this story this morning, I started in my brain putting together like a bracket of – nugget hussies of the newsbreakers and the various sports. And I start in my head, I'm like, okay, who would it be? Like for basketball, Shams Charania. I'd let Woj back in like he'd be grandfathered.
I feel like Woj would smack down Shams Charania. Old as he is and everything, Shams Charania is slight of build, and Woj looks like – Woj grew up in an era when people still got in fist fights at the flagpole, I think.
He grew up in Bristol, Connecticut, man. That's a blue – that's Aaron Hernandez town.
That's right. I think he was a Crip.
Woj?
Yes.
He might have been.
They're the most analytically advanced and well-informed Crip.
I think there is a little something with those two, though, because Shams was Woj's protege when the two were at Yahoo. And now, Shams, they were competing for Nuggets
for many years. Could have been Woj flirting with Kim what's-her-name there, yeah.
Woj, Shams, and obviously in football, like Schefter, Rappaport.
Jay Glazer.
I'll let Jordan Schultz in there, but that's where
Jay Glazer.
Well, that's where my fantasy bracket ended.
Yeah, Jay Glazer's got MMA. He trains MMA. He owns an MMA gym.
He owns a dojo.
Yeah, yeah. Now he's a guy. Like, he's short, but he is built. Like, and he knows how to fight.
Yes.
Yeah. None of those guys would have a chance.
That's why I stopped.
Including your average writer, even if he's a big guy, like a 300-pounder or something.
Dude,
I'd take the guy with MMA training in a heartbeat over it.
I had it. I'm like, okay, we got a football bracket.
Yeah.
We got a basketball bracket. Like the regions in the NCAA tournament.
What about James Palmer?
We got. Do you think James Palmer?
No, but it might be the second runner-up. I feel like James is more of a lover than a fighter.
Yeah.
I feel like James would...
He'd get his ass kicked. I think he'd get his ass kicked. I would get my ass kicked. But I thought, like, basketball, football, baseball. Now, the baseball bracket.
Oh, baseball. Dude, oh, my Buster Olney.
Ken Rosenthal. Jake Glazer would take Ken Rosenthal... And, like, take him, like, you know, like, sometimes in cartoons they take a fish and they stick it in their mouth and they just slurp it out. It's just you're holding a bone.
Yeah.
That's what he would do with Ken Rosenthal. He would just slurp all the skin and muscles off of him and throw a skeleton in the corner.
That's what he used to tell. You know, Dan Hansis used to work for NFL.com.
Yeah.
Like, they had a really good podcast around the NFL. I told him, I was like, man, listen, you got to be, you know, like Hemingway had this great reputation as like the manly man and everything. You got to remember, he was running in these writer circles where like, all right, no, here's a guy who knew how to box and fish and stuff in a competition of a bunch of English majors.
Yeah.
Hemingway was, it was easy for him to be at the top of the hill there in that regard.
Right.
I told Hansis he needed to try to become that guy in the NFL media.
Yeah.
Start training, get all yoked and everything, and then just start bullying people.
Yeah, but Glazer is the X factor, dude.
Yeah.
He owns an MMA dojo and trains NFL players there.
Yeah.
So
and he's built. He's built. He looks bad on TV, but it's because he's actually really built.
Because his suits are so tight.
Yeah.
You know?
But and he's got like a really thick neck, but you meet him in person, you're like, holy crap, this guy's yoked.
And a round head.
Yeah.
You have a round head, it makes the rest of your features look round. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I knew J.J. Watt wasn't definitely coming back this year. He started to look too good in his suits.
Yeah.
I would notice, there's a, what's his name, the wrestler that always wears suits?
John Cena.
John Cena, like he wears nice suits and everything, but they don't look good on him. Like they're well tailored and everything. But when you're that built, it's hard to look really good in a suit.
Yep.
And same goes for jacked defensive lineman like JJ. He looks too good in a suit this year.
Yep.
So I knew that was it for him. Unless that goalie has
12 more shutouts.
He is obligated to come back and play for the Bengals. If his goalie has 12 more shutouts.
Poor bastard. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you. Final segment coming up. We'll check in with the fellas on In the Loop. Adam Spolane going to be back at our compound here in just a couple of minutes. We'll pull Spo on here in the last segment. What did he see and hear out at the ballpark today? And get his Astros thoughts. What are we looking at when we go to Port St. Lucie today to see the Astros take on the New York Mets. We got you covered all week long here, live from West Palm Beach, Exclusive Furniture, Academy Sports and Outdoors, sending us here. Let's give away some rodeo tickets right now as well. Caller number 5 is going to win a 4-pack of rodeo tickets to see Zach Top live at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo Tuesday, March 11th. Call now, 713-572-4610. Be caller number 5. Caller number 5 is going to win a 4-pack of tickets, and you're on your way. Caller number 5, let me be clear, I may have said 4. Caller number 5 wins a 4-pack of tickets. Keep listening all day for more chances to win rodeo tickets. Rodeo Ticket Thursday on Sports Radio 610. Spo is in the house. We'll get him on with us coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from West Palm Beach. Thanks to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Exclusive Furniture. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
You're a draft prospect that I want for the Houston Texans, or that I want for Seth to have for the Houston Texans. Do not cross me this draft season. Kenneth Grant, unable to work out, pulled hamstring.
Yes. This is a weird one. It was found during combine medical evaluations to have a hamstring strain. So okay. He must have told them that it was bothering him a little bit. So who knows? This is the important thing. My concern was that, hey, I like Kenneth Grant, the defensive tackle from Michigan, a whole lot. But I think that he's going to test really well, and he's going to end up being in the top half of the draft, and he probably won't fall to 25. I've seen in mock drafts he's starting to go like around 15th pick or so. Yeah. But hopefully, I hope that this hamstring strain, as much as I want him to recover from it, but I hope it really sucks for him for the next 3 days and he can't work out at all.
I said earlier in the show when we talked about him, I said, hey, you know, maybe just something that dings him up a little bit so he can't work out, but that he can recover from enough to where he's still there at 25 for the Texans. I want that for you more than anything else, Seth.
Well, now the biggest concern becomes, okay, the Ravens sit at 27.
Yeah.
Do they vault up above the Texans and take Kenneth Grant this year?
Yeah.
As they tend to do with really good defensive prospects that I like.
All right. So just if you're a draft prospect that we want for the Texans and you don't want to be a Texan, be careful, because we're coming after your hamstrings.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. With minor strains.
This show has power. You know, with the Hex back during the postseason?
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Adam Spillane is here, our Astros reporter. He is back in the house. You just had a conversation with Astros GM Dana Brown a few minutes back, like an hour or so ago, huh?
Yeah, it's about 45 minutes ago.
Yeah.
It was a good conversation. We covered a lot of ground, starting with Cam Smith, who's obviously been the talk of camp so far. Like, that was the first day I said, like, hey, what has really caught your eye here in the first 2 weeks? And that's the first thing he mentioned. And so that's a guy who obviously they really like, and kind of, you know, tried to get him on where he thought that Cam Smith would start. Didn't really get an answer on that.
Like what level?
Yeah.
Or at third base, or, I mean, because they've been talking about letting him compete at right field, but it sounds like they just want to stick at third base for now and keep it simple, right?
He's only working with infield coaches right now, and I think Espada wants him to stay in the infield, but one thing that that Dana Brown said, that they might try to get him some looks in the outfield here moving forward, because that's probably like his clearest path to getting to the big leagues is in the outfield with this team.
Yeah.
Because you look at the infield and you've got Isak Paredes is under team control for 3 years. Jeremy Payne is under team control for 3 more years. Second base is kind of a we'll see. And then you've got Christian Walker under team control for 3 years. So the openings right now are in the outfield, but he technically is an infielder.
You know what? This is some of the intel that one of our listeners, John, who was out at spring training yesterday. What was John's last name?
I don't remember.
He's just John.
His daughter's name is Gabby.
John and Gabby.
Yeah.
So we were talking to John. John had good seats down in the third or fourth row up from third base, and he said that first day that Cam Smith was out there, the first time he was in the field, Paredes was like giving him, like instructing him where to line up every play, and John was saying like, oh boy, I don't know, man, if this guy's might be kind of a project. And then he went out and cranked out a couple of home runs. But it was a good illustration of, man, just how green Cam Smith is. He's been a professional for less than a full year, and I don't want to get too far ahead of myself in terms of like, oh yeah, throw him out there at third base, he'll be fine. Throw him out there in right field, he'll be fine.
Yeah, he got drafted less than a year ago.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not even March, and this guy was drafted in July.
Yeah.
So the idea that he's going to be ready to contribute in a major league situation is pretty far-fetched at this point. But Dana did say, in terms of like where you start him, you kind of let the player determine that. And if he continues to swing the bat really well, then that's going to impact where they decide that they start him this season. Now, it'll be interesting because today he's starting. You know, the other day he came off the bench, so he's not really facing like major league caliber pitching in those two plate appearances today. I'm not sure who the Mets are throwing. I'll check real quick. But today he will probably see a major league starter.
Yeah. You know,
and so that's a big difference than what he faced the other day.
Adam Spolane is back at the house with us here. He's in the exclusive furniture hot seat. We haven't had an in-house guest yet this week, Seth, so I'm dubbing this chair that has the exclusive furniture banner on the back of it, the exclusive furniture hot seat. So yes. We're asking Adam Spillane the hard questions from his Dana Brown
and really combo. And really quick, it's Clay Holmes is starting for the Mets today. Oh. So, like, you're going to face a really good right-handed pitcher. Like, that's a big difference than what he was facing. So today's kind of an interesting day for that, just to see how he, probably the best pitcher that Cam Smith will have ever faced, will be in the game today.
Okay, so we have that to watch today. So your conversation with Dana Brown, you talked about the kind of the moving parts right now. Like, second base is a competition, the outfield across the board. I know Altuve and left field is a thing. I'm guessing you guys talked about that. But the all these competitions going on right now with outfield and second base, how's Dana viewing those?
Didn't really get into the competition stuff, but we did talk about Altuve in left field because I did want to pin him down on one thing. Like, is Jose Altuve, regardless of how this looks once you get into games, is he your opening day left fielder? And they won't go there yet. Like, yeah. That's been the one thing. They're not ready to just, like, flat out say he's their opening day left fielder, no matter how good it has looked so far in workouts. And tomorrow will obviously be a big day, because you can try and simulate all you want when you're working out, but you can't simulate a broken bat. You can't simulate, you know, a jam shot off the end of the bat, you know, off of a fungo. So, and you can't simulate, you know, the base running stuff that he's going to have to deal with, and throwing to the right bases and being on time with that. So there's some little things that he's going to have to try and figure out on the fly. And that's what 4 or 5 innings tomorrow is going to get to do
that. The thing about all of this that's so interesting is that when we first heard any talk at all of Jose Altuve going to left field, it was in conjunction to with or related to Alex Bregman potentially coming back. And then you find out in the last couple of weeks that, oh, no, they were actually talking about it, whether Bregman came back or not. It makes a lot of sense in terms of trying to elongate his career, his waning skills as a defensive player. But then the fact that now you guys are all saying, and Altuve himself sounds like he's really fully embracing this, and that he's full bore attacking, trying to play in left field. Now I'm almost pulling for him. Mm-hmm. It's something I was incredibly I was against this when I first heard about it, and now that I know Jose Altuve is really embracing it and it's a goal of his, almost it feels like a goal. Now I want him to succeed.
Yeah, I think that they and he understood that what he did at second base last year just wasn't good enough, and it was hard to see that really improving. And so to get him a different position and to maybe be in a spot where he can help this team defensively as opposed to hurt the team defensively, which was what last year was, I think was important, because they've fallen off defensively the last couple of years, and he's a reason for that. And you look at the guys that they have brought in, or you know, Mauricio Dubon is a guy who is a Gold Glove caliber second baseman if he plays every day. Brendan Rodgers has won a Gold Glove at second base. Zach Short can play the position. Shea Whitcomb can probably play the position. We haven't really seen it at this level yet. And the same thing with Luis Guillorme. So they are a better defensive team when Jose Altuve is not in the infield, and two of their two best starting pitchers are ground ball pitchers.
Yeah. Adam Spillane joining us. He's our Astros reporter, obviously, down here in West, excuse me, in West Palm Beach with us. What was – and he interviewed Dana Brown a little earlier this morning. That entire interview is going to run tomorrow, first time in the 9 o'clock hour. So we will have that tomorrow for you in the 9 o'clock hour, the full conversation between Adam Spillane and Astros GM Dana Brown. What was the most interesting pitching topic that the two of you discussed?
We talked about Framber Valdez, and kind of in relation to the Tucker trade. And he kind of explained, because I thought going into the offseason they should trade Tucker and Valdez, because I don't think they're going to re-sign either one of them. And obviously they knew they weren't going to re-sign Tucker. I don't think they'll re-sign Valdez, just kind of going based off of what Max Fried got in free agency this past winter. But Brown kind of gave his reasoning for why he didn't want to trade Framber, and why Framber was kind of different than Tucker. So I thought that was interesting. The other thing that stood out to me, I asked him if when I talked to him a couple years ago, he'd just taken the job. Like, he just inherited this entire roster. Now he's had the job for a couple years. The roster is more so his than anything else. But he brought up it's more of a group thing. And then I said to him, well, have you been in alignment, complete alignment with Espada and with Jim Crane? So I thought that answer was interesting. And then I asked him, like, flat out, have you been overruled on anything by Jim Crane?
Oh.
And so that was an interesting answer also.
No. Okay.
I'm excited.
I am too.
Gotta wait 24 hours for this.
Well, we don't, but the audience does.
I'm not going to listen to it until I... Yeah, it sounds like you're making me do extra work, Sean. I'll react to it in the moment, damn it.
Organically,
yeah. We had this conversation last night.
Yeah, yep, yep. Well, good job, Spo. The Dana Brown conversation. Anything else you see out there today, or what are you most looking forward to today in Port St. Lucie?
You get to see Yordan Alvarez and Jeremy Pena take swings for the first time.
They're in the lineup today.
Yes, they are in the lineup.
Okay, I haven't seen the lineup yet.
And again, Cam Smith is going to face a major league pitcher.
Where is he in the lineup today?
Let's see.
Cam Smith.
Let's see where this is.
You got a picture of it?
We'll join the guys after we find
Pena leading off, Alvarez batting second, Christian Walker's batting third, okay. Caratini's batting fourth, DeCinzo is in left field batting fifth, Cam Smith batting sixth, and
okay.
Dubon's at second base, McCormick and Meyer. So it's a major league lineup going to Port St. Lucie. Basically all regulars except for Jose Altuve.
And Cam Smith is in there, I guess, for Paredes, right?
Yes. Yeah, so that, Paredes played the last 2 days.
Yeah, yeah. So that's so this will be fun. That's a fun lineup to go see today.
Yeah, in Port St. Lucie.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
That's the second time in my life I think I've been to Port St. Lucie.
Okay.
Ever since the last time.
The last time 2 years
and
ago.
And I got a bone to pick with some of these Mets fans from a couple days ago.
Oh, good. Yeah. I can't wait to watch that. All right, be following us on all our social media. We've got you covered all day long in Port St. Lucie, Astros and the Mets, and we'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow we get our first look at Jose Altuve. How excited are you to see Altuve in left field?
I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I think that's kind of been one of the stories of camp between, you know, him switching over to left field, and then kind of the McCullers has been a big story too. And I talked a lot about McCullers with Dana Brown.
Oh, good.
Oh, okay.
And if you missed that, McCullers is going to face hitters on Saturday. So it's the first time. It's the first time since the 2022 World Series that he will face hitters.
Oh, wow. Okay. Is the media, I know we'll be gone by then, are people going to get to put eyes on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They'll do that on one of the backfields. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So if you can, all we need to see is if he gets shelled really bad but stays in there, he's back to World Series form from 2022.
Are they feeding him a bunch of saps and puppets there, or are they going to give him some actual big league hitters?
My guess is it'll be big league hitters because a lot of the minor league guys will be in Tampa for the game.
And
they're not sending the major league hitters.
Feed him Yordan, man. Give it to him. Let's get it. Rip the Band-Aid
off.
Jake
Myers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big league hitter.
Big league hitter.
Sometimes.
Technically.
Sometimes.
He's in the big leagues, and he hits.
Like 10% of the time.
Yep.
Double-digit homers.
Good job, man. Good job on the day. I can't wait to listen to that Dana Brown interview. We'll be playing it tomorrow in the 9 o'clock hour. That's the great Adam Spillane. He covers the Astros for us here on Sports Radio 610. Let's go back to Houston and talk to the fellas. No John Lopez today. He's a grandpa once again.
The third time a grandpa.
Yeah, yeah. Guy's just racking up grandkids.
He's a prolific grandchild producer.
He is. So, yeah, his son BG and I believe it was BG. Is it BG and his wife that had the kid? Or is it Jake? I can't remember which one had the kid. Reggie, do you know which of his sons had the kid?
That's actually a good question. I feel like he might have given me that information. I'm going to be completely honest. Don't remember.
Yeah.
Bad teammate on my behalf, but I sincerely don't remember.
But a healthy baby boy,
Big baby boy is what I heard. Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to give too many of the details, but it did sound like he came in pretty hefty. So
9 pounds, 1 ounce. Nothing extreme or anything.
Okay,
it's not
going to
be
enough.
The Inquirer.
That's pretty big.
Yeah.
No, it won't be the Inquirer.
No. It's not going to be like in the traveling circus or anything, but a pretty substantial baby, I'd say.
Does the Inquirer still exist?
I don't know.
I think so, actually.
They've got tabloids, don't they?
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. Tabloids have kind of gone the way of the dodo bird because you have the internet to give you all your fake news.
All the stuff you need,
And mainstream media.
Yeah. You're right. To give all your fake news as well. Yeah. I'm going to guess it was Jacob because Jacob is the larger of the two. He's the taller, bigger of the two Lopez sons. So, at any rate, it's Reggie Atitula, and we got Luke Morrow there today, huh?
Yeah, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Luke?
How you guys liking Florida?
We're loving it, man. The weather's been gorgeous. Been popping.
I went to go put the kayak back in the proper place because we have to check out tomorrow. Yeah. Didn't want to get dinged on any extra. They probably charge you like $700 to put the kayak back.
You have the kayak wrap.
I saw a baby iguana.
Oh, yeah?
It was so cute, Sean.
Really?
Faster than I tried to capture it, and it escaped me.
Well, it's going to grow up.
I was going to bring it back to Brandy.
Baby iguana?
Yeah.
Are you guys going to St. Lucie today? Are you making
the
trip?
We are.
Nice.
Yeah.
I always love getting the Nathan's French fries, preferably from that ballpark.
They have Nathan's. They have a Nathan's stand there?
Yeah, Nathan's is the supplier for their hot dogs and fries. It's the concession stand they'll have there at that ballpark.
See?
Look at that.
The information we can't get from Lopez when he's on the show.
Yeah, spend a lot of time at those
ballparks. Well, I mean, he did tell you about iguana mating, so it's not like he didn't give you anything.
No, that's true. Yeah. He has his specialties.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Plus, he could tell us the proper way to cook a hot dog. I'm sure he'd have a whole theory about it. So, yeah. We'll miss out on that.
You got to reverse sear the hot dog. Yeah, exactly.
Seth, did you end up getting a churro? Because I was very invested in such things.
No, I don't even know if they have churros. I told you guys, I wasn't sure it was a churro. I thought it could be a churro.
Cacti?
Yeah, cacti.
Okay. Wait, what?
I didn't see any yesterday. So, I think I was just imagining a churro.
What food resembles a churro if not a churro?
That's what I'd like to know.
You know what I mean? Like, could you have possibly mistaken for a churro is my question.
I don't know how badly I can just try to run away from the lie that I made 2 days ago that I was distracted by a churro. I didn't see anything that I thought was a churro.
Oh, okay? I was interested in churros.
I wasn't paying attention to what Lopez was saying, so I was like, sorry, I got distracted by a churro.
Why are you upset about that? I'm frequently in that place.
To our trip. Like, Seth's quest for a churro.
It was a subplot that I was interested in. I'm sorry.
No, you and your damn cross examinations, you and Lopez, trying to snuff out this lie. There, fine. I admit it. You're damn right I faked the churro report.
Yes! Finally, the truth.
That's what we've been waiting for. Good job, Reggie.
Thank you.
Way to squeeze it out of him.
And not to mention, the fact that I was lying and the first thing that popped into my head as I was talking to Lopez was a churro. Thanks for getting me canceled now.
You're welcome.
I would have admitted it if I hadn't in my brain thought, churro.
Yeah. Gordita. All right. Seth's going to get canceled. I'm going with him. All right. Hey, fellas, have a great show. And enjoy. And who's joining the fellas today? Do you guys have any of us scheduled to jump on with you today?
I thought we were supposed to talk to you.
Okay, then yeah. That's me. That's why I'm checking.
Yep.
I called Long Island iced teas yesterday. I just double checking on a lot of stuff.
We had a good time. I'm teetotaling today, I'm not. Yeah. I'm good.
I mean, if you want to have those as well, I'm not going to be opposed to such things.
I will. Well, no, I'm coming on sober. Don't worry.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'll get with Figgy. We'll figure out a time. I'll jump on with you guys, and we'll be on throughout the day here on Sports Radio. Yeah,
anybody to you, and I got to tell you what, I feel 40 pounds lighter. My God, that weight off my conscience. Yeah. My churro life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I got to go update my resume.
Your LinkedIn.
Yeah.
All right. Spo, thank you to Adam Spolane for jumping on with us here, and keep it tuned to Sports Radio 610 all day long. Big thanks to Exclusive Furniture and Academy Sports and Outdoors for bringing us here. One more day tomorrow. Very excited about that. Very excited for the game this afternoon.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.